What's up, my people? Welcome to Fellowship Bible Church's Sermon Spotlight, where we're coming at you each and every week with a fresh weekend to debrief in an effort to send biblical truth. And what better way to do that than by the power of conversation? I'm Alicia Battaglia in the host seat, and joining us today is our one and only Mark Francis, the guy who does everything.
Hey, how are you? We both are so excited you're sitting in the center seat right now that you get a chance to
warms my heart.
Help host this entire episode. We're pumped about this.
She prints out the intro. She takes it line by line.
I just love it. It's just like the sermon notes.
And I've got my my bifocals in action here to read the large print. So yeah, I'm good.
Love it.
And also, our one and only Caleb Pearson, the bringer of the word this week, which was fantastic.
Thank you.
So I just want to say, number one, thank you for bringing an excellent message. But I wasn't the only one that thought it was great. I've talked to many people that were like, wow. But I got a call from my dad. And so he had to make a special phone call to say, we just listened to Caleb's sermon and we were blown away. So just,
I feel adopted by your parents. He sent me an email too.
Did he?
Yeah. He's very kind.
Yeah. Well,
I like that they watch our service. I just think that's cool.
They do. They watch all of the sermon spotlights. So,
nice.
They're definitely in the loop, but I think it was just so well communicated, and spoke to so many people. It just really had an impact on, on the body. So thank you for bringing that word.
See,
so
that was the goal. The kindness.
And then there's Mark. And then
we'll balance it out.
His pupils are dilated. He's like ready to go. I can tell he has something to say.
All right, Mark, 3, 2, 1, go.
the sermon itself absolutely was great of how you laid things out. The entire chapter of Acts 14, it was the goal.
Yes.
And you were able to accomplish it all. Mm-hmm. So, as you know, Alicia and I are in the same small group.
Yeah.
And so we are now the voice of the entire church because we have this voice where we get a little different perspectives from people. And so I can come at you harshly or I can come at you with grace.
Let's go harsh.
I'll start with grace, then we'll go harsh.
Okay.
No, so the idea of the entire narrative of Acts 14, there's a lot to unpack. Right.
Oh yeah.
And so kind of, I have questions, but then also where you land is unique and interesting because you really highlighted on suffering. And so that's kind of the context of where I'm coming from, different questions from our community group.
Sure.
And how you land on suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a lot of other passages that you really could have honed in on.
Right.
So before I really come at you with some of the conversations from our community group, I just want to open the floor to you to first say, how did you come about landing on really suffering as a theme to land on for this entire chapter?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So obviously right off the bat, this wasn't I want to preach on suffering. What passage should I use? Obviously, this is expositional teaching. This is where we were. And one of the main reasons I wanted to do that is I enjoy problem passages, something in scripture that if you were to read it or take it out of context, it could seem to suggest something that it doesn't. So verse 22 happens to do that. What Luke does with this chapter, and again, I'm covering 28 verses in 40 minutes, and you guys notice, no doubt, I skipped, this is actually several verses, we didn't touch them at all. I'll kind of explain that, and it's pretty self-explanatory. But he arrives at graduated degrees of suffering to where their plans in ministry are thwarted. There's a nuisance. They're being mistreated all the way up to being stoned. And he arrives at a conclusion. The conclusion of this chapter is not verses 24 through 28.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the conclusion of his thought. The conclusion of his journey and his thought is verses 22 and 23, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, or really by saying, this is how I'm going to encourage you to continue well in the faith. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, there's two ways to read that.
Because that was a problem passage. You said last week that Tim Sanford had a problem passage, and you're like, I'm off the hook.
So I said I'm off the hook because his was way worse than this one. Okay? I'm gonna show you how this one's pretty easy to navigate. His was harder to navigate.
Right.
But this one, you read that, and it it can come across as, what must I do to enter the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. Suffer. But that's not what this sentence even says. It says, through suffering, we must enter the kingdom of God. So the emphasis is not through suffering, we must
right.
enter the kingdom. The object of the sentence is not the must-haves and the needs to enter the kingdom. It's instead, it's not the key to the gate that he's describing. It's the road to the gate, mm-hmm. even if you have the key. Mm-hmm. Through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Now, that's the one trouble passage, the one caveat. Mm-hmm. How do you get a whole 40-minute sermon out of that? Well, what has just recently qualified him to say such a thing? Because we all know Paul can stand up and preach truth, but he is living this out in a very raw and real way. And so the more I read this passage, the more I studied it, this is suffering for the sake of Christ, even when you are claimed to be a deity for what you are doing. That's suffering, the message of the gospel. They are experiencing bad news bears this whole chapter, way before he was being stoned.
Well, they're actually experiencing this really from the beginning, because everywhere that they go, there is, mm-hmm. as the word is being preached, there are people who are believe, and then there's also opposition.
Right.
And with that opposition, it's really hostile. Mm-hmm. It's not just, we don't like what you're saying. It gets rather violent.
And it's been happening for the last couple chapters, and it's going to continue.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And here's just one thing that might help answer your question, Mark. When I originally submitted the sermon notes, the title of the, whatever you want to call it, the sermon was called Suffering, Continuing Well. Mm-hmm. I actually changed that to Continue Well, Suffering mm-hmm. for His Sake, because this passage really does speak more to continuing well mm-hmm. despite something than it does
right.
suffering itself. Does
because
that make
then
sense?
The follow-up question mm-hmm. is, let's define suffering. And that was sure. the debate in our group, because okay. the comments made was, mm-hmm. I don't see suffering here.
Right.
And here's why. Mm-hmm. He's like, the chapter before, the disciples, they preached and they got opposition. They brushed the dust off their feet. They moved on. Mm-hmm. They're not viewing what we might see as suffering.
Sure.
Then we're like, well, he got stoned. Paul got stoned practically to death. He's like, well, that was short term. You know, and so how do we define suffering? I mean, mm-hmm. almost getting beaten to death, yes, that is suffering. But
so
still,
the
counterpoint
the
is
difference?
How do we define suffering versus persecution
yeah.
versus mm-hmm. the English word that you're using here in the text is tribulations.
Right.
So there is long-term suffering that we're mm-hmm. continually just enduring life mm-hmm. versus persecution. And can you consider kind of the mental anguish of, yes, I'm preaching the gospel and people are not listening.
Not getting it.
The
right.
Jews are just, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. but the apostles didn't view that as suffering. They're mm-hmm. viewing it as, it's a bummer, but we're going to move on. We're going to keep
right.
preaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so the mm-hmm. context of suffering is now, I'll throw that your way to
yeah,
say, where
good.
Do we define suffering?
Yeah. Here's a definition of suffering: the state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. That's how Oxford's doing it here. So obviously, we're going to have so many definitions, right? We're all going to have, here's what suffering is to me. Oh, I wouldn't call that suffering. I would. This is a passage of hardship. This is a passage of difficulty. But it's difficulty in the way the gospel ought to be triumphing, but it isn't. Mm-hmm. I see it as they're yielding to the Spirit and leading that to a fruitful outcome. It's suffering. That attempt is suffering.
And is there a biblical perspective of suffering versus an unbiblical perspective? Is there, you know, kind of a worldview of, oh, my life is misery, there's suffering going on, versus like what is a true biblical perspective
of enduring
suffering?
I think there is. I think we know there. I mean, persecution is a very religious form of suffering. Mm-hmm. That's suffering for religiosity's sake, so to speak.
Well, and as Christians, we're identified with Christ. And so as
right.
he has suffered, mm-hmm. we will suffer, and not to be surprised by that mm-hmm. as well.
Yeah. And if you have an eternal mindset, which Paul and Barnabas have, it's going to be suffering down here. Yeah, there is mm-hmm. suffering, dude. And your barometer is not how great was my day at work or how short was traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Your barometer is, man, the good news of Christ is being hindered and thwarted. This is spiritual warfare.
And the world is broken.
And the world is broken. And yeah. even, and I tried to make this point, even when things go well, mankind is quickly elevated as the reason for its success. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow, God is at work. You guys are gods.
Right.
That, if you talk about the triumph of the gospel, what they wanted to have happen, that's a form of suffering. I think that's hardship. That's hardship in ministry. And when they are visiting all these towns, all these places, it's not just about whether or not they bled. It's about whether or not the message was received or rejected. And when you see Jews and Greeks coming together and you see them talking, Matt, what would that be like for Paul and Barnabas to see Jews and Gentiles gathering in circles talking while they're preaching? I would be filled with so much hope. Mm. And then to find out, no, it's to attack what you're mm-hmm. saying.
Right.
They were embittering right. each other against yeah. your message. The one thing you wanted to accomplish was see, guys, you yeah. are grafted in together. They're talking to each other, and it's about how to kill you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's hardship in my book. Here's one thing, Mark, that I just want to share because this was kind of cutting room floor stuff.
Yep. That's what we're talking about.
Acts 14, mm-hmm. 40 minutes, 28 verses. The verses I left out detail some of the other towns they visited. That was it. Mm-hmm. So it was a couple verses of they went to here. I left that out. But listen to Paul recount this exact journey. 2 Timothy 3, verses 10 through 17. Hmm. Okay? 2 Timothy 3, 10 through 17. This is what is the consequence? What is the aftermath? How do we know whether or not Paul sees what happened to him in that journey as suffering? 10 through 17. 2 Timothy 3. Here's what it says. He just finished talking about an Old Testament example of people not doing what they ought to be doing. And then he says this, now you, book of discipleship, one-on-one, Paul to Timothy, now you followed my teaching, my conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me, where? Mm-hmm. At Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions, plural, mm-hmm. I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Mm-hmm. And then he says what? He confirms Acts 14:22. Didn't have time this Sunday, wish I did. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Verse 13, but evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceived and being deceived. We see what that looks like. Verse 14, you, however, continue, same idea, continue well in the things you have learned and have become convinced of. And I'll stop reading there, but you might recall mm-hmm. verse 16, his final point is all scripture can help you get there mm-hmm. because it's all profitable. Mm-hmm. So we get, all I did this past weekend was mention the Ephesians, say, hey, by the way, 15, 20 years later, Paul writes a letter and he says, you better understand who you are in Christ and how you came to mind when he did what he did. But there's also this passage that greatly recounts what Paul thinks of what happened to him, suffering.
Mm-hmm. And again, it goes back to the kind of our version of what we define suffering
yes.
to be and how right. The Bible, like you just said in here in mm-hmm. 2 Timothy, is laying out that suffering was happening and mm-hmm. occurring. And are we aware of that in our own lives? Mm-hmm. Are we seeing the pain and the suffering that we might be even enduring through subtle persecution at work?
Right.
And are we then bold enough to even confront that
yeah.
and present the gospel even more clearly when we might be fearful of that mm-hmm. potential persecution? And
yeah.
right.
in the world, yeah, there is suffering all around us.
And that right. passage that you right. just read, one of the words that Paul used was the word love. Love was the motivation for the message. And
yeah.
Jesus talks about that in John 15. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because mm-hmm. you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Mm-hmm. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they mm-hmm. will also keep yours. And so we see this example in Jesus, and here we see these disciples and apostles, as they're giving the word, the same thing is happening mm-hmm. to them.
And remember, Luke in chapter 14, he's recounting this whole thing very quickly. Okay, we can study this and read through and be like, that first missionary journey went quickly, but Luke's recounting it quickly. Who knows what Paul has told Timothy, what he's recounting, the sufferings I had to endure in all those towns. They might not even be recorded in scripture,
right.
all of the things that happened.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, we can sit back in Winchester and say, well, it looks like it was just one verse of him getting stoned. Brother, what was that whole day like for him?
Yeah.
If he got stoned to what they thought was death, once. Imagine what else they did yep. to him, because that one verse, I didn't dwell on this except maybe in one service. I think it's hilarious that it says they schemed to mistreat and stone them. I find that phrasing very funny. We're gonna, I mean, who graduates that? Who graduates that quickly? Let's be a little bit annoying.
They laid out a map
and then murder them
in the dirt of like how to go around, and you go around this side of the building, and we're gonna come around here.
Let's
we're gonna
all
grab these stones here.
Let's all circle up. Come up with ways to mistreat them. Oh, I'll make sure their food's cold. You don't know what, but it was all the way up to the point of death, and we can totally conclude that what they went through, even when the highs were high and people were believing, was absolutely a form of suffering.
Yeah.
And so what kept them going on wasn't that it wasn't that bad. Absolutely not.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was, they had such an awareness of that which is good and who God is.
And what is our response? So this morning I was caught up in a worship team meeting where we really were wrestling with a lot of different psalms. Coming up, by the way, there's going to be psalms in biblical training center classes being taught. And so one of them is going to be Psalm 37. And it really is
really
interesting
good.
Of how you see the contrast of wickedness and suffering and persecution to what is our call and response. I'll just read a couple of the first verses because this entire
Make
chapter
sure you get four.
Is really cool.
Read four in there.
Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. He will bring forth
your
righteousness.
Can I hard pause you right
yes.
there?
Yes.
Psalm 37:4.
It's amazing.
It says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If that verse was backwards, we'd be in for a world of trouble. If Psalm 37:4 said, God will give you the desires of your heart, so please delight in him, that would be a very dangerous landscape for a walk of faith. But that verse is not saying, sweet, I'll get what I want if I just follow this one commandment. Well, what it's saying is if you are delighting yourself in the Lord, you better believe you're going to get the desires of your heart because you delight in him. Your heart is in alignment with God,
and you're not,
fretting
the
other
about
way
the things
around.
Around us.
Exactly.
And the evildoers and the wicked men, and just that chapter continues and just contrast goes back and
big
forth.
Time.
It's just a fascinating
And another
one to
thing
look at.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 starting in verse 16, it says, so we do not lose heart, though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. And we see that happening with them. For the slight and momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And we see that, like, the Lord is through this suffering and affliction, it's like there's so much more ahead, and there is this eternal weight of glory that I'm sure that they felt that upon them in the midst of their suffering. I mean, there's purpose, as you said.
Do you feel like Do you feel like that 2 Timothy 3 passage kind of
helps?
Helps
because it gives the context of what Paul is explaining, what he went through,
what he thinks about
and,
it,
and again, the more of the definition of suffering
and so
what that looks like.
Again, you got to decide. If this podcast didn't exist, I would have done 2 Timothy 3 this weekend. I knew there'd be an avenue and an opportunity to read that, and I wanted to give the Ephesians example and give the Gospel John example of Jesus saying what he did, because preaching through Acts is a unique animal. This is not...
There's some interesting,
this
weird
is not,
passages.
It's right? not my wheelhouse in the sense that, okay, we got another one of Paul's letters and the applications here. Here we go, right? I talk to kids and young adults all the time. This is a letter to the early church and it's a letter to us, right? This is historical narrative. I don't want people leaving with an FYI. And so I love to continually... jump into the New Testament then and see how this all fits together so that we can understand, yes, Acts is descriptive, but there are prescriptions in the New Testament that affirm, okay, that's what it looked like for them. Odds are it's going to look fairly similar for us. And so that's why I arrived at just those three ways to continue well, because that's how they did it.
Yeah.
We have to expect this stuff
and
to happen, man.
Yeah.
If we keep getting caught off guard, well, that Eugene Peterson quote, it's a cross. It's so easy for us, and in our culture, the consumership, the success, whatever you want to call it, prosperity gospel, God, I thought you loved me. Why is this happening to me? It's happening to you because he loves you. He told us who his enemy was. we can expect these things and then be prepared for them. And that's why I tried to also say, like, this is not about panic. It's about preparedness, because it's pretty easy to freak people out over mm-hmm. this. Mm-hmm. Preaching on suffering is not fun, but we can expect it. And then this is where this podcast is one example. Yeah. Embrace community.
Right.
Don't consider it once every 8 months when you're at wit's end. Embrace it together. Mm-hmm. Be in a context of a community group where you guys can model what we hope mm-hmm. for on this podcast. Ask the questions, wrestle with each other, and arrive at biblical truth. And then even in this Acts 14, man, you get ecclesiology. The elders, the planting yep. of churches, the making sure that even if they did accept Paul and Barnabas as ambassadors for Christ instead of as Zeus and Hermes, even if it went wonderfully, no way would Paul and Barnabas say, sweet, see you in 20 years, you kids have fun. No, it's then what? What's next? We're going to plant leaders. You better believe I'm going to check in on you. You better believe I'm going to refer to these examples often when I'm discipling somebody else. Mm-hmm. And then you get to that church corporate thing, because Charles Spurgeon once said, if you ever preach a sermon without the gospel of Jesus, it should be your last sermon. Totally true. That's why I wanted John in there and mm-hmm. the gospel, obviously. Yeah. But I also think if you're together on a weekend, raise the value of the local church. Because you don't want people going, what a great sermon, I can't wait to go home and expect trials. Do it. Don't do it alone.
And then you're like Tim Sanford yeah. and you're like, what did I learn today? You know, yeah. what did I hear?
Don't yeah. expect trials alone. Get to a point where you can talk to others about your trials, or they can qualify you for ministry. Mm-hmm. What in the world qualified Paul to disciple Timothy so boldly up to his death? One, the love for Christ. Second is he went through it. The suffering had a purpose. It qualified him for ministry. I have countless applications of that. You kidding me? You know how easy it was for Hannah and I to say, we went through 3 miscarriages. God, why? Well, I know Romans 5 says it produces perseverance, mm-hmm. character, and hope. And guess what? Since then, we have been able to minister to other people
yeah.
through pregnancy loss,
yeah.
this, that, and the other. Every single one of us has a threshold where we could say, well, I trusted God up until that happened. And Acts 14 is a good example
well, that Romans 5
of never
passage,
doing that.
I yeah. love how that was bookended, the yeah. beginning of the service, mm-hmm. and you wrapped it up and summarized right before you prayed. Mm-hmm. Back to that, which is, it speaks to the hope and the character of God through how he mm-hmm. views
because
our lives here.
The Holy Spirit has been poured out.
Yeah.
yeah.
And like that is where yeah. it's happening.
And if for the unsaved world, it is horrible news, mm-hmm. the suffering. It's purposelessness. Mm-hmm. It's separation from God.
But it's for a reason.
Right.
But it's
well,
for a
and,
reason.
And you mentioned that you kind of felt like the narrative ended there on verse 23. But mm-hmm. let's not dismiss.
And I did mention it.
Yes, 24 mm-hmm. through 28. I love how where they got back and gathered together the church, mm-hmm. they began to report all the things that God had mm-hmm. done mm-hmm. with them and how he opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. They didn't focus on what we would view the suffering. They didn't focus
yeah.
on the persecution. They didn't focus on the Jews just not receiving the word. They're like, but look at what God has done. Yeah, okay, there's a stoning. There's, you know, just people rioting around them. No,
yeah.
look at what God did. He opened the door to the Gentiles, just like at the end of chapter 13, that was there. They were filled with joy. And here they're reporting back, not on the suffering.
Yeah.
They're reporting back and look at what God did.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, Luke's a physician. He's not a writer. He's pretty quick, pretty like boom, boom, boom. But you can read this chapter and it kind of just feels like here's the main point in verses 22 and 23. But then he says, oh, and by the way, when their journey ended, here's what they got to talking about. Mm-hmm. It's the end credit scene. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's so great because Paul and Barnabas had every opportunity to really uplift themselves again as the reason for the journey's success, or as look at us, look at what we went through. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
easy for us to do too.
Right.
I have been through so much. Here is everything I've overcome, blah, 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 blah. All they said is, guess what happened? A door, that's so convicting for me.
Look what God has done.
Yeah, how was yep. your trip? Well, I'll tell you one
Don't
thing.
Don't go back there because yeah. they hate us. You know.
So
that's not what they said.
How was your trip? Well, let me tell you right off the bat, there was a door of faith open for the Gentiles. How was my trip? The traffic was nuts, right? Like we just want to jump into
going to the negatives
what our experience was like instead of what as far as the triumph of the gospel is concerned, happened.
Mm-hmm. And to see that they retraced their steps,
yes,
backwards. Like,
right,
they experienced their mm-hmm. the hardships that they did, but then they went right back into the face of it to follow up.
The only reason I didn't focus on that more is because Tim has done a good job with that map multiple mm-hmm. weeks in a row, mm-hmm. detailing. Everyone, if they've been attending here, knows they took the long way home, right? Mm-hmm. They didn't just hop over. They revisited these areas. Imagine that feeling, walking back through the gate that you got stoned at. Mm-hmm. How are you not a little,
so here Caleb, we go. I do have a question. Yeah. So you tied at the beginning and at the end your story with Emily. And when Emily passed out, I have like a multitude of questions about this. I want to know
And the suffering that occurred.
How long was she down? And is this correlating with Paul and his stoning and then getting up? Do you see Paul's basically as good as dead? And then he gets up the next day and carries on. And is this Emily's story?
Here's the crazy part about this. I live on the route for this thing. Okay, so I'm involved in Apple Blossom whether I like it or not. So I participated this year. Got to watch the Bloomin' Mile. It's not that big a deal.
Oh, it's a big deal. Hear me out.
It just kind of starts, and then you're like, why are all these kids running? Then you're like, oh, this is the Bloomin' Mile. And when you're an adult and you're just watching these kids trickle down and run, you're like, okay, this is cool. But I tell you what, Alicia, here's the answer to your question. When you are 10 years old, running away from your family, surrounded by 800 strangers your age, all racing you, and the only one you cherish and care about passes out, you think she's dead? You're 10. What's the logic of a 10-year-old? She just fell down dead. All these people are running past me. It was
the focus
scary.
Is on your suffering or her suffering.
Oh, that's why it's a joke and a funny story, because she got the blunt end of the deal. She all I did was complain.
We wanted pictures.
Yeah.
We wanted video support of this story. Because you know, the validity of this story, you mentioned something about I could have been doing better things. I could have been sleeping into that. Well, the race is later in the afternoon. So,
dude, look it up. Somebody Google Bloomin' Mile times 2006. First of all, you'll see me and Emily way down there. Second of all, that mile used to start 8 a.m., 9 a.m. on the dot. Okay? Don't challenge me on that. I remember being woken up for that race.
Okay.
But I thought to myself, what's an example? Because the context is, this is a missionary journey for Christians. So this is going to be a story of celebration. Our whole sermon series is called The Triumph of the Gospel. This is going to be great news. Mm-hmm. Paul and Barnabas are going to visit all these towns. It's going to be a time of celebration, a time of Christian culture. Then I'm thinking, it's Apple Blossom weekend. What's an example I have? Do I have any story with Apple Blossom where it was supposed to be fun, it was supposed to go smoothly, and it was supposed to be a form of celebration that ended up being a total nightmare, and I thought I might not make it through
this. We have a phone a friend right here. We have Barry and Suzanne on the line. Nope.
I can see your lock screen. I'll do it right now.
Yes.
I'll do it right now.
Well, I had questions about how long was she down? Did the medics come? No, we don't need validation.
If my dad answers the phone,
you can ask him one question. I was not.
This can be edited, correct? Right?
No, of course.
Hello.
Not.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good. Hey, you're live on Sermon Spotlight. Mark Francis is going to ask
What's up, Barry? BP?
He's going to ask you one question about this Bloomin' Mile.
Was Caleb's story truth or fiction?
Caleb's story had a whole lot of truth in that story.
A whole lot of truth.
How much fiction?
Uh-huh.
The fictional part to me was when he said they didn't even want to be awake because the Bloomin' Mile's in the afternoon.
Yes!
No way,
yes! Thank you very much, Barry Pearson, for validating my point. Can any other part of it be valid?
He really values his nap time. He really likes his naps.
It's nap time.
I regret calling you immensely.
Conversation's over.
You're telling me the Bloomin' Mile of 06 didn't start in the morning?
Correct.
Oh, that's funny. All right, thanks for nothing, Dad. Yeah, that's true. All right, love you. Thanks for nothing. All right, bye. All right, you win that point, Mark.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, we need to wrap this madness up.
Yeah, sorry, Alicia. Hey, when it's the three of us.
You never know.
Rein us in.
Two big talkers on both sides of me. It's trouble. Okay, Mark Francis, what kind of announcements do we have for the people?
Well, we'll highlight The trips that are coming up, we're going to start kind of looking at VBS as an outreach opportunity, and notice that like we're talking about it already of how can you serve, how can you volunteer, how can you connect, but then still register your kids. So that's an opportunity where we can reach out into the community and have them bring a friend, make sure that they are building bridges with their own friends, make sure you, the parents or the grandparents, are building bridges with your people to say, come present the gospel. Let's see the triumph of the gospel happen in this building with children during that week. And we have trips coming up even before that, before VBS, is family camp out in North Dakota. So just pray for them. There's really not much involvement unless you're already planning on going, but pray for that as we partner with the Native American churches out there in North Dakota. And then there's a trip to Zambia. So we're just, that's students and youth that are going to be going and partnering with our global missions team out there for Zambia trip in July. And then a couple of us, I'm going to be one of them as well, are going to be going to Maine with a church that we partner with in Vinyl Haven, presenting some of the building bridges material that we have. So to help train and equip that church of how they can build bridges and reach out in their own main community. So there's a couple things coming up in this summertime season just to be aware of. And there's obviously plenty of other ministry activities going on, but those are the ones that I just think are important to highlight so we can best partner together as a church body to just participate in the gospel together.
Very good. Okay. Well, thank you guys. It's fun. Like,
Alicia, you do such a good job.
We're going on year 4 of podcasting together.
That's wild. Like, yeah, coming up on episode 200, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, well done.
We're going to have a party. All right. Well, thank you, Mark. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you so much for bringing the word on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter, guys, is that sermons are not meant to take an hour, but rather transform a lifetime. Until next week, much love and God bless.